Hello, fellow horror legionnaires. It's your favorite host with the most, Benjamin Dutil, with the Horror Healing YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. Today, with me in this special episode, I have a wonderful, wonderful guest, a talented actress celebrating Women in Horror Month. And this is absolutely cool because I love her. She's such a great actress and such a cool person all around. Miss Allie Chapel. How the hell
Oh,
are you doing?
thank you. That was such a sweet intro. I'm doing pretty well. How are you? How is life in New Jersey?
It is cold. I am ready for springtime. I'm ready to pop up my dad bod, show the world what I'm made
Oh
of.
yeah. Same. It is freezing up here in Canada. For those of you who don't know, I'm from Toronto, Ontario. If you can't tell by my Canadian accent that I don't hear, but apparently other people hear, so whatever. But it's cold up here.
I am not judging. Canada is a nice place. Been there, done that. I wish I had the t-shirt mode, but never had time to get one.
That's fair. Also, I feel like we're not big on like t-shirts. Like I feel like we have the one that just says like Toronto versus everybody, but then like that's kind of it. Like we're not like the I Love New York t-shirts that like you can just get. That's not like really our scene. We're like, we get it, you've been here. You don't need to tell everybody. It's fine.
Friend of mine had a shirt with a maple leaf on it, the red maple leaf, and it says, "Kiss my maple leaf, motherfuckers." It was like the best shirt I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh my God, I love that. Yes.
So, if you could please tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I am Canadian born and bred. I grew up acting. I have a degree in acting. Well, I have a triple threat degree. So I majored in musical theater, so singing, dancing, and acting. But acting is kind of the one I focus on the most. And I have been doing, God, I've been an actor for like my whole life. And over the last, I don't even know, like decade or so, I've been a part of some really just amazing projects. And then when the pandemic hit, we were obviously all locked down and couldn't do anything. So I started to like write more. And I wrote and directed my first short film, which took home a bunch of awards, and then kind of got the ball rolling on that. And before we even like started this interview today, I was like editing a new short film that I did like a while ago, but like for life reasons, it just kind of got backburnered. But now I'm working on it again, and I have another one that I'm also editing, which, fun fact, I don't really know how to edit. So it's real fun using a lot of like YouTube videos to be like, how do I do this? Is sound gonna be an issue? Because it feels like it's gonna be an issue. But those will be out soon, which I'm very excited about. And I've also
Awesome.
lost my train of thought. That's me.
So basically, I just use an app on my computer called Movie Maker Pro. $10, bought a podcast set on Amazon, which includes the stand and the microphone for $25, an external camera, another $15, and that's it. That's all I use. And the sound and the clarity is like perfect compared to the laptop camera and microphone. So,
Yeah. I have a nice like HD, I don't know, 1080p camera that I have like bought and installed, so I didn't have to use like my MacBook computer. And I have AirPods, which I know aren't like the best, but like they're better than nothing. So
well, it's all crystal to me. It's all good. Not a worry. So, for those who have not seen Necropolis Legion, I have a quick synopsis of the movie. And like I said, I have so many questions about this movie. It especially. I'll get to that in a second. Okay. So, the tale of a satanic vampire sorceress, Eva, which you play, who is sexually charged, midnight rituals are interrupted when a God-fearing local villagers burst into her lair and murder her. Sucks to be her, man. I'm so sorry.
I mean, you get what you get.
And at the same time, oh, not at the same time, a century later, a whole 100 years later,
Yeah, same time. Yeah.
a motorcycle riding rider Lisa moves into the same cabin where you were killed. Poor soul. I mean, she's fucked. I'm sorry. She's
Oh my
screwed.
God, where
So,
did you get this description of the movie from?
IMDb.
Oh my God, we gotta change our IMDb because one, no motorcycles are in this movie. And the villagers that come and kill me is like my super old man husband and his buddy.
Oh, wow.
I feel like when they originally did the description of this film, they're like, this is what it's gonna be. And then when they made the film, they were like, it's a little different, but I mean, is anyone gonna notice?
So I'm gonna skip the rest of this shit now because I'm going, wow.
Well, I'm sure there, no, keep going. I'm sure the rest of it's fine. It's just, it's very
Okay.
funny for me.
Eva, who is executed with the intent to rape. Okay, whatever. They fucked this up. I'm sorry. So, fast forwarding. So, soon Lisa is having a vivid, perverse dreams, and slowly, surely, Eva begins taking over the young woman's body, using her as a vessel to commit even more atrocities in the name of resurrecting an ancient monster from the underworld.
I mean, the rest seems pretty legit. We don't
See,
not do
wow.
those things.
This is the shit that embarrasses me. I fucking hate it. God damn it. So,
No, it's good. I like it. I like when you're embarrassed. Like, it's fine for me.
see, I'm turning red. This really fucking sucks. So, with being exactly 1 hour and 1 minute long, which is an odd time to make a film, the duration is just weird as hell. But whatever floats your boat, man. Whatever blows the hair back of the director, who cares, right? So,
Yeah.
I could say legitimately, this movie is not boring. It is really
No.
entertaining. Your acting is paramount, by the way. I fucking love your role in
Thank
the
you. I love this
movie.
film. This is like the best thing I've ever done. So I'm always super excited when people want to talk about it. And also, like, for all intents and purposes, like, technically 45 minutes is a feature. So we're still in that realm, but like it was direct to streaming, and like if you watch it on Tubi, it's longer because there's commercials. So
There you go. That's a bonus, I guess. Sure. Okay.
yeah, I guess. But also that's like the Charlie Band world, the Full Moon world. They're like, we don't need to have like 80, 90 minute long movies. Like if we can get the point across in like 60, why the fuck not? I'm here for a short ass movie. So like 90 minutes is like where I'm like, okay, guys, if it's longer than 90 minutes, I'm probably gonna get bored. With there's a couple of exceptions, but you
Right,
know.
right, right, right. But you did an amazing job developing your character in the movie. So, and your performance is what makes it entertaining. That is coming from me. I love it. But you throw in some nun-flavored irreverence, and you got yourself a trippy horror movie that you will never forget. Just saying. It is.
Good. No, I mean, I feel like just with I feel like you're gonna talk about my chest at some point, but like I feel like
You're
with
right.
that
I'm
alone,
getting there.
that's like a selling point for people to go and see this movie.
You're right. The buildup is coming. I'm getting there. So, can you give your viewpoint on your character, Eva, if you could, please?
So in my mind, Eva, when before she like became a witch, I pictured her as a very, very young girl who got sold off for like marriage to like a much older guy. Like, I don't know if y'all saw Maynard in that movie, but he ain't young. And because of that, she obviously, in my, again, in my backstory that I have created in my brain, went through some abuse to the point where she was like, I am done. She calls upon the dark forces because she just needs to get the fuck out. She needs to do some killings and get out of her situation. And I feel like that was the trade-off. I got the dark forces, but I also got the other thing. And then to have her character come back, you know, 100 years later. Yeah, the other thing to come back
The
100 years
danger.
later. The lasers. It just it works out very nicely, especially working like especially with like working against Auggie Duke, who was basically like this beautiful human that I'm just like terrorizing because I'm like anything to get me back into the world.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What is it? Elvis is going through my head. Eva Las Vegas. I don't know why. It just came through my head.
Yes.
I don't know why. So great viewpoint of the character, even though she's a bitch, but she has her purposes, she has her
I'm
reasons, and
not a
I get it.
bitch. I'm a tortured individual who did what she had to do to get out of an abusive situation with someone who I'm assuming is like unkind to children, if you know what I mean. Like, I feel like that
Oh,
was our
okay.
dynamic.
Yeah.
Yes, we all get this. There was a comic book that was released that kind of partners with the movie. I don't know how many were sold. I don't think a lot were sold. But it kind of delves into the backstory. And like my backstory and the comic book's backstory are not like dissimilar. So it's kind of interesting to like see that. Also, it was fun to be in a comic book at that capacity.
Man, that's cool to be drawn as a comic character. I've actually had, this is really cool. I had a birthday party at my house for my birthday a few months last month.
Oh, happy
It was the
belated.
week, it was the weekend before birthday, and two actors they interviewed for a movie called Cursed Waters. They showed up at my birthday party. I was shocked. I was like, "Holy shit, this is fucking awesome!" So it was David Starr and Lisa. I can't remember her last name. And they gave me one of the coolest presents ever. But anyway, I get it. I mean, it's I love independent actors. You guys are what makes the movies so well, and it this is what keeps everything going. I mean, mainstream is kind of like going off right off me right now. So I'm jumping back into independent movies, which is really
Yeah.
cool. But after watching the movie again, yes, I'm very when it comes to watching movies about the occult and shit like that. You get your religions mixed in and all that bullshit. And that's what pisses me off, how people get a lot of this stuff mixed in, but they don't focus on what happens to your character in the movie. They're like, okay, this is what she does after she comes back. She tortures this woman, and now she's the enemy. I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. Back the fuck up. Did you not see what happened to Eva in the very beginning? Jesus Christ. So.
Yeah, like I don't see myself as the enemy, but it's kind of like what is okay for me isn't okay for somebody else. It's the whole thing where like what's normal for the spider is torturous to the fly kind of thing. So that's how I looked at my relationship with Lisa, where for me, this was the natural progression. I had to get into this girl's body so I could go on and be whatever. And for her, it's like, what the fuck?
So what's okay, your point of view on mixing the religions and the occult in this film? Do you have anything to say about that at all? How they mix it up?
I felt like we could have dived a lot deeper into it, but I think if we were going to dive more into sort of that occult aspect or even that like really early century like Catholicism, that's probably not great. We probably would have cut out the entire Lisa story, and unfortunately that would have been happening. But I would hope that one day we'll make like a prequel and we'll get to explore that whole world more, because I feel like the occult wasn't something that was like very, I mean, it was prominent obviously because we've had witches and stuff forever, but I feel like in this sect of the world between child brides and Christianity and whatever else, or maybe not even Christianity, maybe it's just whatever religion they do, like whatever one they have in the witch, that's kind of what I feel that vibe is, which I guess is also Christianity. I don't know, I'm not great with knowing what the different religions are.
Unfortunately, that kind of
I
shit
shouldn't say that. I
unfortunately that shit
what different religions are.
unfortunately that shit was forced upon me growing up, and it sucks.
Yeah, it was for me too. Well,
In
not like
during the
force,
movie,
but like my family was religious, and then I left it at my own accord when I was like, this isn't for me.
I had to go off the path. Like, I'm gonna choose my own shit. I don't care,
Yeah.
man. I mean,
And my family was supportive. I hope yours was too.
not so much, but it is what it is.
Okay.
So, anytime during the film, were there any scenes too difficult to shoot?
Difficult, like emotionally difficult, or difficult just like practicality?
Or physical, emotionally, anything austere in the choose a category, dealer's choice.
Emotionally, no, was pretty chill. I think like the biggest difficulty that we had with filming is that we had like a very limited budget, and we had a very, very short time to make this film. And on top of that, Charlie Band had started this thing that he called the Deadly 10, which was he was going to make 10 movies in a year. He like announced them all at the beginning of the year. I think ours was the th third one to get filmed, second or third, like it's in that area. And his whole thing was he was going to live stream everything, which you think, oh my God, that's really cool, really interesting, because then you can kind of tune in throughout the day and just like see what's happening on set. But like, if you've ever been on a film set, there's a lot of times where it's just boring as fuck. But there's also times when you're like prepping and you're doing stuff, and the last thing you want when you're trying to kind of get into the headspace is like another camera on you being like, what are you doing now, Allie? And I'm like, guys, I have to like get into character, and I'm not great at putting in contact lenses, and like, let's just
Wear a hula hoop around your waist. Like, you break the barrier, you're gonna get punched. Just saying. You've been warned.
stuff. But at the
You've
same
been
time, it
warned.
yeah, but at the same
Yeah,
time, the live stream, because it was so unique and no one was doing it, I felt like that got a lot more eyes on our production, because we had some really cool stuff that we got to show like while we were filming, which sometimes you would only get to see in like the BTS if they decide to keep it. So the fact that we were able to be like having fun, like, we're just going to bring up the fact that my boobs have mouths, because a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, and you can see videos of it online, I like make them like eat chips, and I make them like drink out of a water bottle, and we like make them eat pizza. Like, there was a lot of that going on behind the scenes. Like, I do not envy the people who had to clean those.
well, this interview is going to be a hit, because once I made the announcement I was interviewing you, a lot of people got excited about it. So
Really?
yes, a lot of people got excited,
Oh,
especially on Facebook. Like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch it. So it's going to be great.
I love all
Yes,
you guys. Shut up. Get
you
out.
guys. So you are loved in the horror community. Trust me, you are there. You're top
Oh.
tier with everyone else. So.
Oh, that makes my heart feel so good. Thank you.
But here comes the question about your prosthetic boobs. I kinda know. I told the build up, but here it comes.
Yeah,
So,
prosthetic boobies. I'm done with this blanket. Okay.
did you have to keep those? I mean,
I didn't get to keep them, but they are at a effects shop called The Butcher Shop that my buddies own and run, and they did all the effects for the movie out in Hamilton, which, for those of you who don't know, is like 45 minutes to an hour from Toronto, depending on traffic. And as long as I let them know, I can borrow them. Like, I was a guest at the Frightmare in the Falls convention in Niagara Falls. So I came in full costume, and they let me borrow like the mouth boobies so that people could take pictures with them and like stick their fingers in them. Like, it was a hoot. So, like, well, I don't have them in my house. I can still get them should I want them.
I mean, that would be one thing that I would keep from the set. If someone put a professor boobs on me, I'm like, I'm totally keeping those things. I'm gonna put them somewhere where the whole world can see them in my bedroom. I don't fucking
Exactly, I
care.
know. Just be wearing them way too often, it would get real weird. I have the weirdest OnlyFans.
Okay.
Would just be called Hungry Boobies, and it'd be me like just putting food into
Like,
them.
I got razor sharp teeth and they suckle blood and spew milk. Look at that. All right, cool beans.
Exactly. Oh my God, the milk scene, like, I can't express to you how gross it was. It's not even that, like, okay, so we didn't use milk, like, we used almond milk, I think. And for all, it's not gross, because it's just getting funneled through two tubes that come out that then two girls drink from. But it was just such a visceral look that I was like, this is so gross. Oh my God.
So, keeping the health nuts in the loop out there, it was almond milk, okay? Chill out. Okay.
Yeah, suck it.
So now I'd like to jump into personal questions, if you don't mind. I always love to ask these questions. I like to get to know the people who I interview a lot more on a more personal and deeper level. So, from your own personal point of view, what is horror to you and what drew you into it?
Oh, that's a good one. I feel like I should have got these questions in advance so I could have like a really profound answer. What drew me to it was I was just a fucking creepy kid. Like, I was, you know how like every kid's kind of different? Like, you have like your dinosaur kids, or you have like your horse girls, or like whatever. Like, I was the spooky kid who was just real weird about things. And I leaned into it so hard because I was always kind of into like ghost stories and going to cemeteries and like just kind of all of that. So when I started watching horror movies at way too young of an age, they just spoke to me on a level that other films didn't. And then when I kind of got into acting, like I had no intention of being like a horror movie actor. Mine was just, I'm going to be an actor because this is my life's passion. This is like my blood. But then the more and more I kind of leaned into horror, the more horror movies I started doing, the more getting involved with the community. And it sort of just became like a fun part of my personality. And obviously I love horror. Like I got some shit back there. I got some like shit over here. But I also like, I'm going to show everybody this. Like
Room this out
horror,
my room.
accent, like horror adjacent stuff, like Jawbreaker and Practical Magic. And can I do it? Oh my God, there's too many chords. And Drop Dead Gorgeous. We're like, they're all horror in their own way, but they're fun and they're girly. And I don't know. Plus, I just, horror is a genre where there's so many subgenres to it. And it's not just about like slashers and gore and blood. Like there are some very intense, like psychological ones that, you know, fuck you up for a long time. And then there's ones that are based on books, and there's ones that are based on comics. And there's just such a world within the world when it comes to horror. And I feel like other genres don't have that. Like I feel like even with like action movies, which like you can have an action comedy.
I think you froze on me. Oh shit. You froze! No! That's not bueno. Stand by, people. Okay, so we left off at your personal point of view of horror. You talk about subgenres of horror, and then you're saying that there's got the subgenre of acting or action movies like action comedy, and then boom, you froze.
Oh yeah, because I feel like there's no subgenres to other genres of films. There's no subgenre of romance films. And when it does, it's like, okay, well, this is a horror romance. And it kind of stops being a romance film and kind of focuses more on horror, like with like Warm Bodies or Lisa Frankenstein. Like it kind of feels like every time someone wants to do something different in their genre, they usually revert it back to horror. Which I'm like all for. I'm here for a girly horror. I'm here for a horror comedy. And yeah, that pause messed me up because now I don't remember the stuff I was going to talk about.
Yeah, no worries. We got the gist of it. It's really good. It's a good answer. Good
Yeah,
answer.
horror is
Keep that
fucking
thing.
fun. And I was a spooky kid. That's all you need to know.
I get it. I was reading Stephen King when I was 8 years old. And then my gateway into horror was my mother taking me to see Silence of the Lambs when I was 9 years old. So it's
Nice.
just weird. I was like, dude, I love it. I want more. It's like crack, you want more. So
It's like, cool. I'm gonna fuck up my kid. This is great. Yeah, I was lucky that I had like chill parents who were like, the horror is not gonna mess her up. Like, shit's happened in her life already at a young age. Like, I don't think horror is gonna be the thing that fucks her up.
No, I actually thanked my mom because that would be where I'm at today if she introduced me to horror when I was 9 years old. So this is the way it is. And it turned out to be
Exactly.
great. So it's fantastic. So your biggest influences, do you have any past or present, future, different lifetimes?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, acting wise, I mean, there's obviously the greats when it comes to acting, like Nicole Kidman and all those people. But I mean, if we're gonna be like legit, like
Oh my God. Oh
obviously, he's my biggest influence for everything. I'm like, how can I embody Nicolas Cage in just in life? Like, how do I do this? And then film-wise, I mean, God, there are so many just amazing directors that I feel now that I'm on the directing end of things, I'm like really exploring films, not from an actor's point of view, but from a director's point of view. And like, I'm here for the horror greats, the Wes Cravens, the Jordan Peeles, the John Carpenters, etc. But I have been kind of on like a Sofia Coppola kick lately because I love her movies. Sometimes they're just like slow and nothing happens. And then sometimes like a lot happens. And then sometimes it's just like emotional and heartbreaking. And I want to be able to bring that kind of stuff to the work that I do on top of like bringing the horror. It's like bringing the noise, bringing the funk, but I'm bringing the Coppola and I'm bringing the gore.
Right. I get it. It's funny how you mentioned Nicolas Cage because I just watched National Treasure 1 and 2 last night. Just
Ugh,
the
those are so good. I feel like
one.
not a week goes by where I'm not watching a Cage film. Like I went through a thing last year where I was like, how many Cage films can I watch this year? I got up to way too many, and now I'm like, guys, I can't do the ones where he needed money and they went like straight to video, but like so far down the video list. But now I'm like, all right, I gotta watch them. I pushed them off for too long.
So, favorite Nick Cage role, go.
I mean, classically speaking, you gotta go with Con Air or Face Off. But I did like the new shit he did in Pig, which I definitely think he should have got at least an Oscar nom for that role. Not to mention his work with Pedro Pascal in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. But then, of course, we have his big introductory role to an Academy film with Moonstruck, which is just like chef's kiss. And then when he started doing like fucking weird shit like Vampire's Kiss and Mom and Dad and oh my God, Dream Scenario. I just saw that when it was in theaters. So good. I'm very excited for that to come out. Also, fun fact, I like know the alligators in that movie. Like, we're chill. But like, oh, it would be rough for me to just like I could just do a whole thing on like pot on whole thing on like Nicolas Cage and his films and his work. He's just he's my future husband and I love him.
I'm gonna write an email to him to his publisher and tell him that. Just
Oh, you think I don't do that every day? They're like, this bitch is blocked. She needs to stop it. No.
Renfield was good. I love Renfield.
I
He
liked
played a
him
good
in
Dracula.
Renfield. He
Played a
did.
good Dracula. He does that so far. That and Face Off right now are my top two for Nick Cage.
I rewatch
So.
Face Off and Con Air like every couple of months. I always feel like I need to. Same with like The Rock, where every now and then I'm just like, I need to see him like just hang out with Sean Connery at Alcatraz. Or like Gone in 60 Seconds, where I'm like, I just need to see him steal cars and like justify it. Like, I need him in my life.
So if you have any advice to give any to any budding actors out there who are just coming up like you are, like they have to get to where you are. It's like you're top tier in acting and they're like down
Thank
here at like
you.
level one, you're like level 1,000. So if you were to give any inspiration, any advice to anyone down there, what would you say to them right now?
Like, thank you for thinking I'm tier 1000 because lately I have been feeling like I am tier one. But honestly, like, the only advice that I have is that, like, you gotta stick with it. Like, I'm at a place where I'm like, I've been sticking with it for so long and nothing's happened, but like, I'm not gonna not stick with it. Like, if this is your fucking dream, if this is your passion, it's gonna fucking suck, especially if you're in Canada, but you have to stay true to the course and like, take acting classes when you can. By no means am I saying get a full degree in acting unless that's something that you want to pursue. But if you can just take classes here and there, if you can just work with other actors, like take some scene studies, just study films and study the films that you can see yourself being in, that you want to be in. Because it will happen and it won't happen right away. I mean, for some of us, yeah, it's great and it's lucky. But like for me or for other people that I know, like it's going to take some time and build up a thick skin, especially when it comes to the auditioning process, where they will, for some reason, feel justified to tell you all kinds of terrible things about yourself. You're like, cool, but was my acting good? Like, why are you being so mean? And
Just
yeah, it's
put a
hard, but
middle
if you
finger
love
tell
it,
them suck it.
like, it's one of those things where I wish I could tell some of them to suck it, but I'm like, no. You're gonna see me back here in a week when I get another audition with you. Because clearly, you also, if a casting director is seeing you multiple times, like I'm talking like a lot of times for different roles and stuff, even if they say negative stuff about you, they still want to see you. It's the casting directors who see you once or twice and they're like, I'm done. I'm not gonna send them any more shit. Like, if they're sending you stuff, even if you're not booking, even if you think they don't like you, they know that you have something. Always be psyched about that. And you just can't let the negativity get you down. Like, I'm in a week where like the negativity's getting me down, but like this podcast, honestly, like it lifted me up. So now I feel like better. And get
I'm
into the
sure the
union
tech
whenever you
helped.
can. Like, if you're in Canada, get into the union the second you can. It's gonna suck if you don't. I mean, it's gonna suck when you're in it too, but for different reasons. But like, whew. It took me like 2 decades to get into the union. And like, y'all, just if you have an opportunity to get into it, get into it. And if you have an opportunity just for non-union people, like if you're starting out, work for free, do student films, fucking pitch yourself in any way you can, make shorts with your friends, make just random tapes for your reel and just put your shit out there. Use social media. I feel like I'm saying too much stuff. Just believe in yourself. I said way too much because I got really like involved at the end where I'm like, no, acting is hard. Don't do it. But if you're gonna do it, like
We heard it from Ally Chapel, people. That's what you have to do. So get off your asses, go to your nearest casting director, and be like her. Just saying, and you'll get far. Okay?
yeah.
Just fucking do it. Get off your ass.
Yes, just do it and kill it.
But that's, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. You've been a wonderful guest, by the
Oh,
way.
I had
You're
so much
great.
fun. This was fun. You like made my
So,
week.
oh, I'm so glad I could help. And you made my day. Probably the rest of my
Oh,
century, but you know, that's how it is. So,
that's what Ava
ladies
does.
and gentlemen, boys and girls, the beautiful, the talented, the wonderful Ally Chapel. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I
Thank
wish you nothing
you.
but success in your career. And you are definitely Oscar worthy in any role you play.
Oh
I don't give a shit what anyone fucking says.
my God, thank you.
They can kiss my white Irish ass, okay? So fuck them. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you on the big screen.